Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, one of the pastors, and another pastor is joining me today, Pastor Joe Helm. And we've been talking, Pastor Joe, the last number of times about characteristics of last days. And it is sad, but it's exciting when we begin to realize we can see these characteristics in today's newspaper, in our media. And it simply tells us that we should look up, for our redemption draws nigh. But I think last time we left off, we had gotten to the point that we were going to be dealing with people that were just uncontrollable, incontinent, the King James calls them.
Yeah, a pretty descriptive word, I guess. We would have a little bit more of the bodily function interpretation of that
or
imagery that would come from that. But, I mean, that's an illustration of just being out of control.
Yes, exactly.
A lack of self-control is the concept there. Undisciplined, without self-control. You think about our society today with the encouragement with major advertisers, the cliches, that the slogans that come out.
If it feels good, do it.
Yeah. Have it your way.
Mm-hmm.
If it feels good, do it. Just do it. You know, and the list goes on and on and on, because the marketers and advertisers, they have to appeal to your flesh.
Right.
They want you to go out and simply do without thinking, and indulge without thinking of the consequences or the cost. And, of course, our old human nature is all too ready and able and willing to do that. And this idea of undisciplined and without self-control, a good illustration of this in our day and age would be addictions.
Oh, how true that is.
And the grip on a person's life.
Right.
That substance abuse and many other types of things, pornography and whatnot. But, boy, what a good description of the characteristic of our time. Untamed is the next word. The idea here is that man is just like a wild beast. He's savage. He's brutal. He's simply wild. And you read this morning's newspaper, you watch the television news report every night. This is our world.
Right.
We are living in a savage, brutal, wild world. These characteristics are so front and center in our world today. It makes this whole chapter just like you're reading the newspaper.
Right. And so when we consider that, and the next phrase then says, despisers of those that are good. And so consequently, if we are trying to live a good and righteous life, we really ought to expect to be attacked at times.
Yeah, because of the despisers. Those that live godly shall suffer persecution.
Exactly.
And that word here is unconcerned. And one of the ways it's speaking there is that these people are unconcerned for the public good. They don't care what their conduct or their attitudes or their behavior does. They're going to do it.
You know, we can see so much of that, even the financial mess that our country is in. And as opposed to everybody immediately banding together and saying, what is best for our country, you still have some people that will say, how could I manipulate this crisis for my benefit and for my financial gain? And even after the Hurricane Katrina, people then putting in false claims for millions of dollars when they weren't damaged.
Right. Or looters.
Exactly.
Now,
right.
Praise the Lord, there's plenty of people that showed kindness and concern for others and the public good. And natural disasters seem to bring that best out in people, to rally and to help one another as communities. But there's plenty of examples in every one of those cases of this kind of character. Unconcerned for the public good, and it doesn't matter who it hurts, I'm going to get for myself.
Right.
And the next few words then actually revolve around deeds, where, as in the beginning of the list, when we talked about braggarts and arrogant and revilers, we're talking about speech and talk and attitudes. These three words, betrayers, reckless, and blinded, are really referring to deeds. And so the first one, betrayers or traitors, would be the idea. These are deeds toward other people, deeds that are entirely counter to decency and loyalty and faithfulness to one another. And so you can see here that husbands and wives in particular would be engaged in conduct that is betraying their marriage oath, their marriage commitment, their marriage vows. You can see police officers violating their oath, politicians violating their oath of office. This is what this is all referring to.
Right, right.
Being a traitor to your oath, to your position, your occupations or whatever it might be.
Every man has his price.
Yeah,
idea.
Exactly. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Sure. And they just betray everything that they're about because it turns a buck or it gets them a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is the word reckless, and the idea there is it's really the degree at which they will do those deeds.
Okay, I see.
In other words, we've heard the phrase, they'll stop at nothing.
Right.
That's what this is referring to. This is the magnification of these deeds of being traitorous and betrayer. This is the idea of the mindset that it's so reckless, it's so thoughtless, it's so rash, you know, it's so cold-hearted. It's like the cold-blooded killer.
Right.
You know, there's just no qualms. There's nothing that they won't stop at to get what they want and to do their deeds.
Because there's no conscience. And when there is no conscience, it has been seared. At that point, there is no standard of right and wrong. It's what do I want to do? Fine. That's the standard.
Yeah. And then the next word just gives you some real insight into the inner thinking of these types of people. It says blinded. The idea is deluded, demented. They're twisted. And look at our culture today with all the psychological dysfunction and, of course, the fact of all the medications and the drugs and the psychotropic drugs that people are getting. And it gives you the understanding here of this is what it's going to be like.
Sure.
And it's like to the extreme, the mindset behind those deeds where people are ruthless. They'll stop at nothing and they don't care who gets in their way. That's a synopsis of those three words.
Wow. Wow. So that then just leads us to the next part where it says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Yeah. And that word more there could, I think, better be translated instead of.
Instead of loving God.
Yeah. So
yes.
It's just lovers of pleasures as opposed to or instead of what they ought to be doing is loving God.
Right.
And you can't have it both ways.
No.
You can't love God and mammon.
Right. Or love the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christ said it himself because they're diametrically opposed to one another.
So basically what you're saying, Pastor Joe, is that their personal pleasure has become their God.
Yes. Precisely.
Okay.
And at the same time, then verse 5 says that they having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then Paul says to Timothy, from those kind of people, get away. Turn away.
Walk away from
them. Walk away from them.
Or run.
Because out of their mouth comes one thing.
Mm-hmm.
They might have spiritual words, but out of their life, it's like Jude said, they were like raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Their conduct, and in many cases even their speech, betrays everything they claim to be on Sunday morning.
So you're saying that we can have folks with some of these characteristics that have a form of godliness. In other words, they can be religious, they can go to church, but still on the inside, these can be some of their characteristics.
Oh, yeah. We get that understanding from Christ's own words when he said that in the day of judgment, there's going to be many, not just a few, but many people that say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?
Mm-hmm.
Have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not this? Have we not that? And then what does the Lord say at the end of all that appeal? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Right. And so consequently, when the Lord says that we are to turn away from them, that means that there's a choice on our part. Because if we want to be in God's corner, as it were, then we have to decide who is not in God's corner and who is attacking those in God's corner and God's principles and God's stand, shall we say, God's program. And we simply have to say, I'm sorry, but I cannot go along with that because you are not a part of God's plan for today's world.
Yeah, and that's why it comes back to the foundation of this passage being chapter 2, where Paul said to Timothy, and he used three vivid verbs, very descriptive verbs to explain to his church what they should be doing in response to the false teachers, the followers of the false teachers, and the practices and the conduct that were being encouraged by the false teachers. He said, number one, depart.
Okay.
Get out.
Mm-hmm.
Get away.
Mm-hmm. Don't pray about it and try to make changes. Get out.
Yes.
Yes.
Get out and get away from, depart from iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, purge, cleanse, get it out of your life,
right.
Get rid of it. And then number three, flee. Those are three very, very strong verbs that there's no ambiguity.
Right.
It's depart, it's purge, it's flee. And then in its place, he says in verse 22, pursue. Here's the one thing you can pursue,
mm-hmm.
or here's the path of your pursuit should be, and that is faith, love, righteousness, and peace. Those are the things that you can pursue. It's like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering,
sure.
gentleness, meekness, self-control, about which there is no law.
Mm-hmm. Nothing against following after those aspects in your life.
No, because those are the things that God tells us we can follow without limit. And there is no law against any of that type of behavior.
You know, in my counseling many times, I'm dealing with folks that need to put off certain things. Kind of like Paul is saying, flee youthful lust. That's the putting off. But often then folks don't put on the character qualities of God, like love and peace and righteousness. And then they wonder why it's so difficult to continue to put off all of those things that are so anti-God, because they're going in the opposite direction of the way God wants us to be walking.
Absolutely. And you can go to passages like Colossians chapter 3, where Paul is very, very clear, and he says, but now you also put off, and then he lists a whole list of these types of negative characteristics, sinful characteristics, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying one to another, all of these things. And then he says, but now, yeah, put off those, but now put on these. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel, just as Christ forgave you, forgive others. Put on love and the bond of perfectness. There's so much in the Scripture that talks about this type of change of life, transformation of life.
Exactly. And so as we come to the end of this particular broadcast, I trust that if there's something that God has put his finger on in your life today that you realize I need to put off, I need to make a clean break of, that are definitely hurting your relationship with Christ, it may be that today you need to put off that relationship and focus your attention on following peace and righteousness and God's will in your life. And so until this next time, I trust that the word for life will indeed be the word that directs your life. God bless you.